saying that in the evening you'd either go out with your friend or.
Or back home it was like the houses is very colonial, like, you know, we were invaded by Spanish, because when I see pictures of the thing, I think it's back home. The houses are like one big patio, and then there is like rooms all around, and there's a bathroom there, rooms all around, if there's a second floor. So at night, and the rooms are rented. So you can rent one. It depends how large and how much you can afford. So it's a lot of families are in one area.
Okay.
And sometimes they have primer patio, que llama first patio, segundo patio, tercer patio. So you have a very big group. And this is in Cusco, and Lima is different. And most people used to live there, not anymore. So if you go there, it's going to be different. So we were part of that compound. And at night, the mothers and fathers go in the middle of the, in the patio, and in chairs, and the guys stick together, the ladies stick together, and we play with each other, the children. So it's like a community thing. I thought that was, I miss that.
Right.
You don't have that. So we knew what our children are at all the times, and everybody was having fun, really. Until I guess, of course, this is after dinner, it's somewhere between 7 and 8. And then people go to bed early in Cusco. So by 9 o'clock, Cusco used to be a ghost town. Not anymore.
Right.
It was really surprised. A ghost, everybody was in bed by 9 o'clock. If you're reading, you're not necessarily sleeping, but you were in bed. And then on weekends, we always had also activities, get together. And my family speak about that. We usually have picnics, getting together. It was always in somebody's house, and we all had to help out. We all go early and do different things. Every weekend, we have something. And my family is from, it's not really from Cusco, even though everybody comes to Cusco. It's from a small town called Surite. And they still have lands there. They don't live there, but they have land. So on weekends, we will go there a lot. If we didn't have no events, somebody's birthday or getting married or different events, sometimes there is festivities in different areas and you go celebrations, parades. If we didn't have anything, we will go to Surite. And my mother's mother, from her mother's side, is from Ancahuasi, another small town near Surite. Surite. My grandfather's from Surite, my grandmother's from Ancahuasi. And we have family in both. And we used to have land too. So everybody goes there. We also used to have nice get together thing. Carnaval, I don't know if you have carnaval there, like throwing each one water and powder and we used to do all that and have parties, like just having no food, and, I mean food too, but it was more gathering together, getting together.
With the family.
With the family. And Surite is very small town, so we will meet in the main plaza and just hang out, and all the family, not just the children.
Cool.
So it was not, you can't do nothing bad.
Right, right.
Because it was, and
everyone
if you do something
together.
No, if you by accident will do that, somebody saw you and will tell your mother, believe me.
So you acted good. You had
So that was very typical. We didn't have nothing extravagant. Occasionally, once in a lifetime, a concert will come from another country. It was a big deal for us, you know? We do a lot of soccer games. Sundays are soccer games. Very typical. We all will go to the stadium. Everybody as a family. Everything is a family thing. It's not like guys go, like here,
right.
You guys go together and the ladies stay. The ladies go to the club. No, this is football, the whole family.
Huh.
Yeah.
Very
That's
nice.
What I got so interested in sports when I was young, because I was brought up in that way.
Right.
Yeah, always.
Well, what kind of ties do you maintain with home?
With my family, My mother has a sister, which I always said they are twins. They are not.
Mm-hmm.
It's a year apart, I think. Although now they, you don't know their age.
Right. Now,
they forgot. But I know when I was little, and I think I saw their birth certificates, then they are a year apart.
Mm-hmm.
My aunt now said, oh no, I'm much younger than your mother. Not the aunt who brought me. They are three girls.
Okay.
And she is like a matriarch of the family. She, for her, see, my family come from Cusco.
Mm-hmm.
All her brothers and sisters came to Lima for her. She was the person who was very strong and take care of her family. And we came to the United States because of my aunt, the other aunt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She is like a mother to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very, very close to her. And I don't like Lima too much. I don't find too much other than the museums and stuff like that. There's not too much for me in Lima, but I only go for her, for my aunt and one of my uncles, but mainly for her.
Okay.
And every time I go, I have to spend time with her. My father died when I was young, and my father is my aunt's husband's brother.
Okay.
So two sisters and two
sisters and two brothers.
And my papa, I call papa to his wife. He took care of me, not too much financially perhaps, because in that time there was no money. He didn't like support me completely.
Right.
But when my mother didn't have a job, we stayed in their house, and my papa always bought me little things, like even a treat, a ice cream, a different thing. So I call him papa because of that. And because we lived with her for whenever we could afford our own. My mother lived also with families. We live with her, so I'm very close to her. And whenever I go, or even now, I call her from time to time, and we keep in touch with all the time. So that is a very, very, like, I go to Lima mainly for her.
Okay.
In Cusco, that's where life was brighter for me. We have a very hard life in Lima, and that's what I went to Cusco, and it was a good life, and that's what I think I put my roots. And I have great uncles there who were very close to me, and we kept, as a matter of fact, the last uncle just died when I was there last year, around July
28. Okay.
And I think from that generation, I only have one aunt. That's my mother's uncles and aunts.
Okay.
Only one aunt is left. Everybody is dead. And then I have a lot of their children who we become very close, and cousins and friends. I have a lot in Cusco.
So you visit?
Yeah, I have the school I was part. I go. The lady, the founder of the lady who was so old when I was there, she's still the same.
Oh my goodness!
I mean, she's slower. That's about it.
Right.
She doesn't run the school anymore. I visit her. I try to contribute something for a school, school. I make my contribution. And I'm trying to someday come back and have a reunion or something. So I keep in touch with all my friends from a school.
Okay. By visiting and telephone?
By visiting. Usually, periodically by telephone. And they have it spread out too.
Do you ever email? Do you email
not
any
too much, because a lot of them, you know, the whole country is still, a lot of those people
don't have
even
computers,
my husband don't have email.
Or don't,
So, not too much for email. With the ones who have, yes.
Mm-hmm.
The ones who doesn't, yeah. Okay. So, I have a lot of, my dreams are still for retirement, to move with my husband there.
Really?
Yeah. And help contribute to that school that gave me a chance to teach there.
Right.
I have, and help people who can afford education.
Right.
That's my dream. I hope we'll do it. It's doable, I think.
Yeah.
What are the
things that you miss most about?
Oh, the first year, like I said, other than the bonding and the attachment, the the people are different here, and it was so funny. The language, you might not believe, and you might not have had the experience, and you can never know until you had the experience. Like I say, I was with just English speaking people. It was something I holding tight on me when I meet my aunt on the weekend, which I didn't have every weekend. It was every 2 weekends. Oh my God, I will talk like, hold on, calm down. I will say, it looked like I hold it too much and I have to get it out.
Had to express yourself.
Yeah, and the food.
The food.
Did I suffer with the food?
Ooh.
They want sandwiches at lunch.
Sandwiches?
I never ate sandwiches at lunch. That was a bit, you eat sandwiches, a snack.
Uh-huh.
Not at lunch. Lunch is the main course.
Lunch is a meal. A cena, right?
Uh-huh. More than dinner.
Okay.
Dinner, we don't eat that much. Mm-hmm. Lunch, we have appetizers. We have salad, soup, main course, dessert, coffee, tea, lemonade, whatever you want.
That's why you have the 2 hours, too, for lunch, because it's an important meal.
Big, important. And they want to give me sandwich. And then they, and for dinner, they want frozen this to pat it out. Oh, my God. Mm. I didn't find taste in any of the food. I still, like, love my food. But I got used to, but I still go any place for my food, believe me. Even to Patterson.
Mm.
And food, people first. I find even though I have good friends and I think they are as warm as they can be, I still find the people are not as close, as warm as we are back home. That can be a had the bad points. We are in insurance business all the time, which is bad.
Right.
Here that you have more privacy.
Right.
One thing over there is a big shock. You are a group. Community comes first. Here you are an individual. I come first. There we come first.
Okay.
And that's a big change.
That's a big difference.
Because everybody do their own thing, and you. Newcomer than everybody selfish,
right?
But that's just their culture,
right?
So that's a big thing, mm-hmm. I think, for a lot of cultures.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's a big difference.
Yeah. Well, how often do you visit?
Well, actually, I went after I got married, I think a couple of years after I got married. I went with my husband and I. We didn't have no children.
Mm-hmm.
And we went for 3 months, which is wonderful. And I'm glad I did. He loves Peru. And then we went with my daughter, was 1 year old, Wendy.
Mm-hmm.
We went for a month. She got, as a matter of fact, she celebrated her first birthday there.
There.
After that, I didn't go for a long time. Mm-hmm. I think I went, oh God. I have to remember. I think I didn't go for like 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went, the last 4 years I've been going every year.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you or maintain your Peruvian culture here?
You know, at the beginning it's sort of hard. You're struggling with life, trying to bring an income, children, and so it's hard. My family, thank God, I really are very proud of my family, and I am proud that I belong to this group. We do get together a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And years ago was even worse, like almost every weekend was getting together. I think somebody drops a hat, we get together, you know. And our parties are not just a couple hours. It used to be like the next day until the next day.
Mm.
So I think the part of the food,
mm-hmm.
between my mother, who lived with us and knew how to cook just Spanish food, mm-hmm. although I taught her a lot of, now she knows a lot of American food. The food part was maintained by my mother at home, because that's all we knew. The kids,
mm-hmm.
they used to get upset and say, why don't we are like a typical American, eat hot dogs and canned soup? I say, because we're not typical right. Americans. You know, they and now they appreciate the
right.
food. But then they wanted, you know,
hot dogs, hamburgers. Uh-huh.
And my mother maintained that she helped me maintain. And we talked then in Spanish. My husband does not Spanish, so it was hard for me. So my mother didn't know English, so it was sort of that make the connection that the kid know Spanish.
Okay.
So, and then we always like gather in groups, and we will tell them that this is that. We brought different pictures, and we will tell, and we took a lot of pictures, and we will tell this is a Tia Sol. As a matter of fact, they didn't even know my Tia Sol and my Papa Vince.
Mm-hmm.
When they got there, they thought they knew, because they knew everything about her.
Because you had shared so much.
Yeah, and they just hung out like they knew each other for years. And my aunt said, how can they be like that? Because I talked to them a lot, and I would call, I would make them talk
on the phone before they ever met.
Physically see her. So we always talk, and my mother would go to Peru back and forth, bring always little gifts, and it was a big deal.
Right.
They would talk, take it to show and tell.
Nice.
I used to dress thing up. It was a big deal for me. They didn't like it.
Uh-huh.
I bought suits from Peru. Custom and our dress, and I will dress them up for different. Oh, they will hate.
Oh.
Of course, you know, and that.
Right.
And basically, Dad, let me. Can you stop? Let me talk. And then, part of my life also is my girlfriend, my best girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
She's married to a Puerto Rican, she's Peruvian. So also her, we try the food. You're right, the food is a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if she will make something from Peru, I will go. If I make something from Peru, she will come, and we will have the kids. One time we went all the way to New Jersey to just to eat Peruvian food, because here you never have any.
Right.
We get there, guess what the children want? French fries.
French fries.
From McDonald's.
We don't want that.
So we, and I maintain this is my very good friend. And then someday when you come to a party or something, you will meet Margarita is from Peru as well.
Okay.
And she's the godmother of my Wendy. And she was very good to my children. And I'm very good. I'm very close to the children, that my children really thought that we were related.
Oh, that you were cousins or aunt or sisters
my son kept telling everybody that Judy is her cousin, his cousin. And after they left, I said, you know that they are really, really not your cousin. And he was in shock.
He just assumed because of the closeness.
Yeah. So we have a lot of friends.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, Jason's mom was a very good friend.
Okay.
Also a good friend of mine. But I think she came afterwards.
Okay.
I didn't know her for too long.
Are there places or events in Philadelphia where people could experience Peruvian culture?
Right now or then?
Right now.
Right now, yeah. Now, as you know, I'm the treasurer of an organization called AMPA. It's the Asociación Nacional Peruano Americano. And we try to bring to promote the culture of Peru. We have done several events. We specifically for the Independence Day, July 28th. A friend of mine who worked for the Taller Puerto Riqueño, she is pretty involved in do a specific. Events like now is the exhibition of paintings, and it's connected with my organization, but it's also part of the Puerto Rican Taller Puerto Riqueño sort of like sponsors us at different activities. We have two wonderful restaurants. I don't know if you've been there. One is in the 69th Street, 69 and Market. Not exactly on 69 and Market, but it's a couple blocks of 69 and Market. But just to give you a general idea. And those were from a family, actually, I think the ladies from Cusco, who were wonderful, wonderful. But they, I thought it was, they tried to, like, complement with American food, and they did a very magnificent job on that. However, the lady got sick, and they sort of passed to somebody else, and I'm not sure now if the food is as good as when the lady was. So, in case you want to go...
What is it called?
El Sol, Inca del Sol.
Inca del Sol, okay.
Okay. And then there's another one, El Balconcito, is on Tabor and... not too far from Risingson Avenue.
Okay.
And also it was originally from Peruvian people opened that, but now it's a combination of, I think, Brazilian and Peruvian. Okay. But they have the typical food of, if you want to experience the typical food.
I'm getting hungry.
I know. And we have to, I think it's up to us and to my organization to bring more things.
Mm-hmm.
And to promote and to show the public that we are here.
Mm-hmm.
And this is also part of this society.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our job, that we are working on it. Our mission.
Well, let me ask you, in what ways, if any, do you feel that you have moved away from your culture?
You know, my husband is Ukrainian.
Mm-hmm.
And I want the children, because they are part Ukrainian, to have something as well. So I did, well, there's no school, Peruvian school per se,
right.
So it was either going and sent to just a regular school or Ukrainian school. So I chose to send to a Ukrainian school for elementary school. So they went to Ukrainian school and they knew the language, but I think they forgot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So maybe in that respect, but anything else, I really don't think, because now more than ever, my husband is very supportive.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's fantastic in that respect. I feel that sometimes he's Peruvian himself, uh-huh. because we even go to restaurants and I say, oh, would you like to be part of my wife's organization? And like he approaches, and he brought a couple members to our organization as well. And when it comes to food, he sent me to the end of the world to get his ceviche.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what ceviche is?
Mm-hmm.
So it's he also sort of came to be part of us, and he also promotes our culture. I think he really does. And I'm really proud of him, because he's so funny. He's really like, he feels he knows a lot, and he talks to people. Oh yeah, I went to this and that in Cusco and Lima, and they say, really? Oh, I ate ceviche, I ate carapulca, lomo saltado, and people are looking, they don't even know, and they are married to a, or their children are Peruvian, or whatever the
case. So he's adopted, very much adopted.
And he really likes the culture, he loves the culture a lot, and he wants to move someday to Peru as well.
Oh, good. Then you won't have any problems.
I hope that not.
Do you have any concerns about your home country or friends and family in your home country?
Right now, no. At one time with El Sendero Luminoso and other guerrillas, of course, it was not a very good place.
Right.
It was maybe that's what I didn't go that much. I was so scared to travel around there.
There was a time.
Now I feel that I have my roots. I can go anytime,
mm-hmm.
and they are there. They are happy,
and
I really don't feel any concern about. As a matter of fact, the funny part is everybody's moving back. My tia, my aunt, who I told you brought me, she's back in Peru.
Okay.
She lives there now.
And I know Pilar's parents
moved
back
to Peru. So my uncle Victor and his wife Celia moved back to Peru. My uncle Celestino moved back to Peru.
Okay.
So, and I think we will move to Peru.
So those are good signs of things happening there too in Peru. I mean,
the only thing I still feel that it can be better, the economy can be better.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think there is luxurious things like here, but they're happy people.
Uh-huh.
They're still family togetherness, and
nice.
The place is beautiful.
Do you have a favorite holiday to observe? American or
he, American. Believe it or not, Thanksgiving used to be, didn't mean anything to me.
Right.
Okay, because we don't have Thanksgiving over there. But now, my family is too big, and we used to get together in Thanksgiving, but it was like, it grew so much that we can't, we don't have a house to have.
Right.
That. So we
The generations have kids.
Kids. So now we still, I know that my Uncle Victor's family are together. I know that, and if I want it, I can stop over anytime. They know that I have, and this friend Margarita is my very best friend. So we have together with her, and occasionally I always invite somebody who doesn't have any place to go or something. And but we know that we call each other, and we know that if we want, we're renting our own house. As a matter of fact, Pilar stopped in Thanksgiving this year.
She came by.
And it was funny, and saying, stay. And she didn't want to stay. And I'm blowing the, look at how good. But she went, and she, her family got together, her brothers and sisters, and it was important. So, but at least she stopped.
Right.
But, and we know that we can stop and we talk to each other. So we are a small, different and small groups, but and we adapted Thanksgiving to be together with the family. It's my favorite. I think probably Christmas. I love Christmas. Oh, I love Christmas. Yeah. Easter too. I like Easter. At the beginning, it was sad because it was in Christmas. I used to cry because I was lonely. Now I'm so happy that sometimes when they are in the morning and waking up, I say, why are you so happy? I'm very joyful now in my holidays. I have my family now, and I know where my mother is. I know I can reach my extended family back home. And I'm happy. I can do whatever I want to do or be with anybody I want to be.
So is Philadelphia now home, do you consider?
Yeah. Definitely.
When did it start to feel that way for you?
Oh, that's a tough question. Even after I got married in 69, the first year was, I'm going home. Second year I was meeting more people, getting to know, getting involved. We used to have different activities. More Latino, because there was not too many Peruvians.
Okay.
It was more general
Puerto Rican
Latino.
And
actually, South American, South America. Still, Puerto Rican, they maintain their own group.
Right.
And they are strong. They are
They have more of their kind.
Don't need us.
Right.
We will look for others. And I think we always got together with their activities together, support each other's activities.
Okay.
So I guess in the second year I sort of start feeling, I'm here, I might as well make a life here.
Right.
Then met my husband, got married. We still thought we can go back, and maybe those 3 months was like, maybe we can make a life here. And you can, if you have money.
Right.
If you have a good
If you bring money.
Yeah. We didn't have, we were just early couple, young couple. So we knew that we had to come back here and we work hard. And I think as I went back to school, I have my children, and you don't have time for feeling sorry for yourself, be lonely. I wasn't lonely.
Right.
And now I think I'm very, very comfortable. Sometimes when I'm home, I miss here.
So it's a process.
Yeah, it's a long process. I don't think it happened in 1 year or one event. But now I feel down.
Okay.
This is home.
How would you describe yourself here in the United States when you tell people what you are?
I am Peruvian. I am proud to be Peruvian. I feel I have adopted this country. This is my adopted country, and I'm very proud of to be here. Although I miss my country, but I think this country has given me the opportunities to be a Peruvian American person, and and I'm very proud of him. I don't think I'm giving up my country or betraying my country. And I'm very proud to be part of those two cultures. Mm-hmm. And I always tell my children, you have to take the best of both and make it the best for you and create your own little culture.
Right.
And I think I'm a good citizen. Of course, I'm a wife, a mother, a daughter.
I'm going to go ahead. Okay, I'll ask to make this quick. Do you ever consider yourself Latina or Latino or Hispanic or which of those terms do you?
Well, I've always said I am Peruvian, and but you know the different questionnaire I have,
right?
And I check Latino.
Okay.
What's the other?
Hispanic.
I don't think I see that.
Okay, you see more Latino.
Latino, yeah.
Okay. Well, what is it? What does being Latino or Hispanic mean to you? I mean, when in this country, you know.
In this country means that you come from a Latin country, South America, Central America, country, and you do speak Spanish. That's where my description of Latino. A lot of people ask me, asking that you do speak Spanish, and you have things in common, and. The cultural part, probably the food, the dances, definitely the language is number one, and even religion. I think the majority, I believe, they're Catholic, and we have a lot of things in common as a Latino person. So that's what I think we.
What are some of the differences or distinctions that you see between Latinos, between groups?
From groups to groups. Well, the big difference between what the big group is, I think we all feel that we're very much different than Puerto Ricans. I think Puerto Ricans are somewhat in the middle of Latino and Americanized. They really don't know, and a lot of the people, even the ones who come from there, don't speak Spanish. The other thing is, like in my country, we speak Castilian. That's the language. Only here we say Spanish. And that's more classical, more like a Shakespeare version here. And the literature is very wonderful. The difference probably the way we talk, and we have different slangs. I think one difference. Religions, I think that we're all the same. Food, there is certain difference too. I think it's mostly the seasoning. But I see when I go to Tierra Colombiana, I love the food, but it's different. So there is difference. And basically, everything else, we have a lot, more than what we think we have in common.
Okay. What do you feel Latinos have to offer Philadelphia?
Well, we're taxpayers.
That's a very good point.
So we really have to, we contribute, to society in that respect. The other thing I think is because we are more now than we are more interested, also they incorporate our culture to become part of this big culture of United States, because everybody in United States are immigrants and brought their part. This is a young country. And I'm hoping that someday we can be recognized that our culture, our language, not just or the Puerto Rican group, but individual like Peruvian, Colombia, Argentina, Mexico. Well, Mexicans are very good.
Right.
I think they're much well recognized.
Right, because the numbers are so big.
Yeah, and Mexicans are much more than the other South American, Central American groups. I really think that. And I think, I hope they, when somebody asks me, where are you from? And I say Peru, they will not come and say, "Where is Peru?" I hope we should be able to be more close to America, with our neighbors.
We're getting near the end. What would you like people to know about your community? Peruvian community.
Community here.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to know that we are part of the society. We want to be recognized as individuals and great contributors. That everybody is not in welfare or live in areas that is not very attractive.
Mm-hmm.
And many of us has worked very hard. Some of us have succeeded, some of them has not. But a lot of people have. Mm-hmm. That's worked very hard. Maybe they have said they don't know how. That's where they still live and where they are living. But a majority of us are good people. We have good ethics.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to be recognized in as such, and not just to be a stereotype as because one Latino does something wrong, mm-hmm. And then it becomes then all, oh, that's because he's a Latino,
right.
And it's expected from him. As a matter of fact, we do have a lot of high values, moral values, then it helps us to be a good individuals. And the fact that we don't have that much money, that shouldn't be, then we are not considered, and we are not a good people.
Mm-hmm. It's a very good point. What do you see are the greatest challenges or adversities to the Latino community?
I think we are being face almost every day with big challenges.
Mm-hmm.
For one thing, I really don't think we have the recognition that we deserve.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think we are now the supposedly the largest minority group, and I think more so than African Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of the things are geared to groups like African American, even though they say minority groups,
mm-hmm.
than it is geared to other groups, and that including Asians.
Mm-hmm.
They are minority too.
Right.
And I think that's a big change that I would like to make, is if we are minority and we're going to include minority groups, minority group means a lot of groups,
mm-hmm.
not just one large group.
Mm-hmm.
And because they don't include us almost in anything, I think also we don't get recognition.
Right.
And I think it's we're doing a good contribution to society.
Have you had struggles in your life here in the United States because you were an immigrant or Peruvian or Latina?
I think people are prejudiced, and you can feel. I learned to make life easy for me. You have to turn negativity to positive things.
Mm.
And sometimes I don't see those things, but I really think no matter where you go, there is always... As a matter of fact, just the other day, even they joked, they didn't check anybody, and they checked my bag.
Mm-hmm.
And I did say, maybe I wasn't, and I said, is it because I'm Latina? And of course, they got very defensive.
Mm-hmm.
But my question was, why didn't they check? Could it be, they could have said, oh, it's randomly, if mm-hmm. that's the case, you know what I mean? And I think in that place, in some places, they do check you, more to Latinos,
mm-hmm.
or African American, and that is offensive. That is offensive. But it was my credit card. It was. They had to call somebody to recheck my credit card. So, and when he laughed, and I think, oh man, that's not so. You never know. It could have been.
Right.
It could not have been. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't overreacting. I just was trying to make a point, and they got very defensive.
Do you feel that there's a difference between the way you're treated now and the way you were treated in the 60s or 70s? What?
Oh, definitely. I don't think, even in jobs, to tell you the truth, because once I knew English and I learned, I took some typing, and I thought I was capable to do any job, administrative job. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of places not hire me because of that. But then again, another place was going to hire me just because I was Latino. And that also, I thought that was offensive. Because you have to hire a person because what they do.
Right.
If they are qualified to do the job, not because. I think it was either, it was they needed a Latino. Of course, it wasn't.
Like a quota, or they needed someone that spoke Spanish?
No, that was the funny part. I think they needed somebody. I just happened to know by accident. Uh-huh. And they needed, in one point here, I think it was all over the United States, and you had to have a certain amount of minorities. But again, they were concentrated more on African American. Mm-hmm. But they figured, like, one Latino,
so
you know,
could pass.
Yeah,
Latino.
Exactly.
What are the things that you're most proud of?
I think my family.
Uh-huh.
And that's including my little family and my extended family. I'm really proud to be part of this big family.
Uh-huh.
Even though, like, sometimes we're getting out now. I think I'm proud of my accomplishment. I'm not rich. I don't have too much money, but I think I have a wonderful children, wonderful family, wonderful friends. And to me, that's more important than if you have $1 million.
Right.
And I think I have accomplished, I have good balance of my children are going to school, they don't get into any kind of trouble, they are, and they balance also, that's another part, and my children even with, I see many families,
mm-hmm.
that the children don't want nothing to do with Latinos, ancestor.
Uh-huh.
My family are so proud, and I think I have conveyed that, to be part of that. And my son is trying to take his friends to Paris and to eat all the Peruvian food you can eat.
Yes.
And my daughter always, whenever she has a time, she helped me in all the activities. My daughter goes to Peru more than I do.
Oh.
And I think I pass it on, and I know with me, which is unfortunately with many families, and I see it's going to die because your children are not as enthusiastic. My
right.
children, I think, they will live my culture and their father's culture as
your
well.
Grandchildren will.
To the grandchildren, and hopefully
right.
it will pass it on.
Right.
So for that, I'm very, very proud and to have a really wonderful family.
That's nice.
I got lucky.
I guess we already talked about this. Oh, no, this is... What was the greatest adjustment that you had to make coming here?
I don't know. I think to be practical and realistic and face myself and look at myself in the mirror and say, I think you have to start a life here. Because I always wanted to go back. It's always was in the back of my head,
mm-hmm.
like, make some money and go there. I say, why not just make it here?
Right.
When I don't have to struggle here. I mean, you still have to struggle, but not as hard as I said. And go anytime you have the opportunity to go, anytime you want to Peru. Really, what stops you?
Right.
So I don't think I can have that the same, the other way around.
Right. So that was a...
I had to be
you
realistic.
You had to change that.
And said, give it up.
Right.
Live here, you're here.
I think we already answered this one, whether you'd ever felt alienation or discrimination.
Yeah, not very much though. Like,
right.
Mainly like when I was maybe sentimental, and sometimes you observe and you do. Like I say, I always turn negative things
right.
into positive. Life goes much more easy that way,
mm-hmm.
because if you don't,
It eats you up.
Yeah, eats you up. So I try to like give the benefit of the doubt to every person. No, she has some good.
Were there any organizations that helped you adjust or helped you in your living here?
Not really, because I was struggling also to make a living. My mother was ill and she didn't have no money. Mm-hmm. So I really had to be a provider myself. Mm-hmm. So I was too busy working and trying to get some money, educating myself as well. So I really, no.
I guess the closest thing ended up being your family. I mean, your aunt and then...
My family, my aunt helped me enormously in the sense to just provide me the ticket. Who's going to give you? Nobody's going to give you. And when I was here, see, that's another thing, even though a lot of people think that I came and my aunt took care of me, sent me to college, and that's what my other family thinks.
Right.
Which it wasn't the case. I work for everything. But my aunt, for some reason, see, when you are from my culture, when you come with someone, you sort of you own to that person in the sense that you can't do nothing for yourself. I had to ask permission. Mm-hmm. I went to Canada, for instance, for the Expo 67. Mm-hmm. I had to ask permission. It was my money. It was my friend, my time, vacation from my work and everything. I had to ask permission to my aunt if I can go.
Right.
And that's cultural, really.
Right.
I didn't have to, but I have to. And I think... And I always say I stay with my aunt, meaning that she was my my sponsor, you can say, my mentor, my mother here, perhaps, but it wasn't because she took me and supported me and feed me and sent me to school. And she could have helped me if I was broke or something. I have no hesitate, but my aunt had also a hard life. Then she thought that I had to be on my own, which was very good for me, because I needed that, and I had to make a life for myself to support myself and do the different thing. So I think she helped me tremendously. In first by providing me the ticket, and second by really pushing me, because maybe myself I was with the idea that she was going to take care of me, which that wasn't the case, because she had also a hard life and she was supporting herself.
Right.
She could have helped me, but not just, and I wasn't her child.
Right.
And I had to also, that's another thing, I had to realize, I'm with my aunt, but she is not my mother. She doesn't have the obligation to support me. But see, when you come from another country, somebody takes the job and I did have to ask when I met my husband for if I had to go out, I had to ask my aunt.
Uh-huh.
And she would say, no, I probably will not go out.
Right.
So it was, she was my organization, I guess. Right. I went through with my aunt for everything.
And she was your cultural, the two of you were, you know, part of the pan in that sense. And that you know.
So that's
intangible kind of thing, support or... that you get, you know, from your own kind.
She was a very supportive person, even in the... She's tough. She's hard.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that helped me to grow up very fast and say, you're on your own, Rika. You have to make yourself whatever you're going to be from this point on. And never forget her.
You've answered these, not directly, but in other ways.
One thing I just want to add it with my center, that I feel this is my center also, even though I financially don't have nothing, no ownership. I also now I'm trying to push my boss to consider hiring a Spanish-speaking therapist. And I'm mentioning, we need that. The community is growing, and there's a lot of people who doesn't speak English. And she's keeping in her mind, but she just said it's hard for this particular type of work.
Right.
So we are hoping that the next one will
be a Spanish-speaking therapist.
Therapist, yeah.
What have you or your family been able to accomplish things that you would not have been able to accomplish in Peru, I think?
Oh, everything I have, really. Mm-hmm. You might not see it. I don't have much, but... I don't think I could have bought or traveled or just by myself a car or a house for that matter in Peru. Definitely the financial was the part, the big part in Peru. No anything else. I was happy, very happy financially.
And what are your aspirations?
Well, at this point in life, I have so many things in my mind, as I told you before. My goal is a hope for one day we'll go, as soon as we can have an income, we went to Peru and we're doing something for the community. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things. And my husband wants to have a little farm, and that's doable. Uh-huh. I want, but we can't do that, all that thing, until my children are taken care of. I want my children to finish their profession, be on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And I also want to learn so much, so much more, like... I want to do a lot of more things here for the community, for the Spanish community, and that's what I'm with this.
With the therapist.
I want to be able, and I think I accepted the NIMH review because I feel that we are underrepresented. And when I read this and I see they concentrate minority groups, I want to be able, which I already have said, why, if the majority in New Mexico are Spanish-speaking, how can we don't provide people who speak? How are they going to do the conversion in Spanish? And that's my different points in my reviews that I am pointing out, and hopefully that that will lead to something, to protection. Part of the protection of human rights is to include. For this particular, to customize this particular group. So that, and that's the reason, it's a lot of work. It's not fun, but I think that's one of my intentions, because I think I can make a difference. I want to learn so much, you don't believe that. I don't even know if I have the time to learn. I'm going to go back to my culture. You know, I haven't taken Peruvian history for many years. I want to refresh my courses and promote. You have to know everything, not just the food and the thing. And I'm starting with that, but I'm really going to try to connect and try to hopefully write some grants.
Nice. Is there anything you would like to add?
No, I'm just very pleased with my life. I think I have accomplished everything that people want to. I have a wonderful husband, and without him, I could not accomplish half of what I have. I think, or maybe none. He's very, very worse. He's very supportive. He, as a matter of fact, in AMPA, it takes a lot of my time. And many times I have to say, I really have to go home. And then, but he said, that's okay, I'll handle here. You just have to do whatever you have to do over there. A few times I have hosted, I was hostess of a group. And he was part of helping me preparing for, I told you about, there was an activist from Peru for the African American group for the History Month for Africans. They have invited different Africans from different parts, and a Peruvian was part of that. And Dorita brings him, like, just like that. And we had to fix things just like that. And another husband would not have to take me to take a hike. He came with me and started helping me out, and we pulled it together. And he always, like I said, helped me about promoting and with my education. Many times I had to be out of the house, and he chipped in as far as with the children, and we're taking care of the food and different things. So I think all my accomplishment is thank you to my husband. And as a result, I feel that I have a wonderful children too. He's not very strict with them, but... He was there for me when I needed him to step in. And of course, we have our problems, we have our ups and downs, like anybody else. But for the most part, and the accomplishment. I think I have a wonderful family. I have my mother.
Uh-huh.
I still have problems as far as like her health and
mm-hmm.
how to cope with, because when your parents who have been so active start like not being so active, it also reflects on you. You have to take care of them,
right.
Not just
your turn.
You have to take care of yourself
mm-hmm.
and your children. And he knows them, and certain days I go to my mother's
mm-hmm.
and he's also very supportive. So that's one thing I feel very proud of me and myself, that I have a good family. And like I said, my extended family, I love it.
Uh-huh.
We get together and I love it too. And be part of them, and I think we give each other something,
mm-hmm.
and when something always there
good.
Together.
Well, that's it.
And I think that's it.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing.
You're tired, I'm tired. Let's